Hello again, and welcome back for another week of the Luke Miller Podcast. And again, this is just meant to be a time where we release this Thursday. It's something that's midweek. It's just a chance where we can have a bit of a devotional, where we can spend some time in God's Word together, keep it kind of around that 20-minute mark, although a pastor saying keeping it around a 20-minute mark is almost certainly a lie, but we'll aim to keep it around that 20-minute mark. And just dive into God's Word and see where He is leading us this week, and hopefully give some encouragement as we cover different topics. Over the last little while, we have been doing the idea of worship and what that looks like. And we finished that off last week, but I wanted to transition into something that I guess we could say is more day-to-day, and what day-to-day life should look like. And there's no better place to find some of just the common sense of the Bible than the book of Proverbs. And I thought it'd be good for us to spend some time looking at wisdom literature in the Bible, and specifically the book of Proverbs, and taking a look at what this should look like in our own lives. No doubt if you turn on the TV, on the news, depending on where you may find yourself, you're going to be hearing a lot of people give a whole lot of opinions. And Proverbs is written by Solomon. It was written a good chunk of it by Solomon. And it's written in a way in which it is meant to give as almost an instruction manual for those who are young, a way to give wisdom from experience and instruction from past context, and a way to explain words of insight. And for us, it's a way to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness and justice and inequity. And so we see this right at the very beginning of Proverbs. But essentially, Proverbs is an instruction manual that covers all of life. The beginning chapters present a series of lessons that a father is teaching his son, and the latter chapters emphasize how God's wisdom applies to changing life situations as that son matures. And so the purpose of Proverbs itself is found in chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, where it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles." And so Proverbs was written so you and I can become wise in God's eyes. There's no doubt that there's a lot of self-help books out there, and there's a lot of people providing opinions on how to be better people. But where we find ourselves today is saying, what does it look like to be wise in the eyes of God? And it's not enough simply to be educated and have knowledge. As important as education is, we also need wisdom, which is the ability to use the knowledge that we have. Right? And so that there's a difference between the two. And that that wisdom is that ability to use the knowledge that we have. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for wise is used to describe people who are adept at working with their hands. And I'm going to spend some time next week looking at some of the key phrases and key people in the book of Proverbs and see what this is. But I want to focus a bit more on the purpose of it today. For our conversation, we're going to discover really four or five very practical ways to wisdom. And we'll spend most of our time probably on this first one here because of just how important it is. And it's a phrase that we hear over and over in the Bible, which is to develop a fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 is both the theme of the book, and it also unlocks the way to wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We see that right in this one verse, the nature and the necessity And what happens when we neglect the fear of the Lord? The nature of the fear of the Lord, let's start with that in the first place. Fear of the Lord, when we truly fear the Lord, we will recognize that He is the Creator, that we are created, that He is sovereign and we are His servants, that He is the Father and that we are His children. That is what the nature of the fear of the Lord is. The phrase, the fear of the Lord, literally means to live before the face of God. It's the idea of being so in awe of God that I long to obey Him. One great quote that I came across when I was looking at the fear of the Lord this past week is that when we fear the Lord, there's an element of dread at what His wrath can do, but there is also such a respect for Him and for His will that nothing else matters but doing that which pleases the Lord. The true fear of God is almost childlike, I guess you could say. A combination of holy reverence and love. To fear God is to have a heart that is sensitive to both His greatness, but also His graciousness. And there's that dichotomy there that I think is important for us to realize. Often we find ourselves focusing on solely one aspect of God, whether it is the greatness of God or whether it is His graciousness. But fearing God is having that sensitivity to both of those areas, not just focusing on one of the characteristics of God that we feel most comfortable with. It means simultaneously we experience a great awe and deep joy. And if you remember back to when we were talking about worship, that is one of the key components as well to worship, is having reverence for who God is, but also having that awe and the joy that comes out of it, right? We're called to revere and to rejoice Him. That's where that having a heart that is sensitive to His greatness and to His graciousness comes in. Fearing God includes understanding how much God hates sin and fearing His judgment of sin. And the main emphasis of the entire Bible is the fear of the Lord. Listen to some of the scriptures, scriptural passages that show just how important this is. The fear of the Lord can keep us from sinning is one that we hear, which is Exodus 20:20. Do not fear, for the Lord has come to test you, that the fear of Him may be before you, that you may not sin, right? The fear of the Lord keeps us from sin. It's so often that we find ourselves hearing that word fear and thinking, be afraid. But here's the purpose in all of this. The fear of the Lord can keep us from sinning. The fearing God will motivate us to care for those who are hurting. Leviticus chapter 19 goes into this in detail, but if I'm just reading one passage from it, in verse 14, it says, you shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. I mean, that passage and the greater passage is talking about that fearing God should be a motivation for us to care for those who are in need. And it says that God blesses those who fear Him. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. And we see that in multiple places in Psalms, but I was quoting that from Psalm 128. God works wonders so we will fear Him is another key thing. Ecclesiastes, in its famous chapter 3 passage, which talks about the seasons that we may find ourselves in, which says, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. It's understanding that's that God, our Creator, and being able to understand what that looks like for us. That at the end of the day, God endures forever. I mean, if we don't fear God, I mean, here's the opposite side of things. If we don't fear God, then we find ourselves forsaking Him. And Jeremiah goes into this in detail, where he says, know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of me is not in you, declares the Lord of hosts. This is as he's prophesying to the people of Israel. And really this idea that if you don't fear Him and you don't understand that greatness and that graciousness together, then often you're going to find yourself in a place of forsaking God. it brings us to the place where we start to understand that the necessity of what is fearing God, right? The second phrase in our passage tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The word beginning was used to describe the first offerings, the best of the offerings, the most excellent, the best, the chief offerings. It also refers to a starting point and the ultimate goal. A good passage for this is Proverbs 9, verse 10, and it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," right? And notice now you have that connection between the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. We're going to take a look at it, and this is one of my favorite things to do, especially when I'm teaching classes, but we're going to jump into this next week, is how do we actually approach Proverbs? We're talking about the purpose of Proverbs today, but next week we're going to jump into how we actually approach Proverbs as far as reading it, because we can see that there is kind of a set of rules that you have to take into account. And so one of them is not just, if you see something that is on fearing God, you don't just read one passage, you read all of the Proverbs passage, and it paints such a beautiful tapestry, in this case, of the fear of the Lord and what that is. And so here you see this tapestry starting to be formed by understanding that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. At the beginning of this, I pointed out, right, that the beginning, that knowledge and education is one thing, but wisdom is the actual practical outpouring of what that looks like. Here's the bottom line when it comes to this. If we want to know anything, we must grow in our fear of God. Without the fear of God, we know nothing. It sounds very abrupt, and it, when I say that, but that's how God views it, right? If we want to be blessed by God, it says fear him. If we want to be motivated to care for the hurting, that involves fearing God. If we want to keep from sinning, that involves fearing God. If we want to understand more about God's plan and see his works and wonders, then we fear him. If we don't fear him, we forsake him. All of these things lead us to this conclusion, and leave me to this conclusion at least, right? And if we see the neglect of the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7 ends by showing the contrast between those who fear God and the fools who don't. We'll look at this again next week, and I'm not trying to dangle a carrot out in front, but we're going to look at the key themes that we see and the key wordings that happen. And one of them is the wise man and the foolish man, or the fools and the wise, right? And you see a bit of this here, where the contrast between those who fear God and the fools who don't. And it's a common language trend that you see throughout Proverbs, but you see this over and over. The word despise means to scorn or to hold in contempt, right? And there are really only two categories of people in the world, the wicked and the wise, as far as Proverbs goes. Those who revere and those who reject. It's very simple. Simple as that. God fears and fools. That's as clear as the book of Proverbs puts it. And so, you know, a fool is not just someone who is a couple bricks short of a load, or is just not someone who thinks straight. A fool is not somebody who is just not smart, right? In Proverbs, the fool is the one who doesn't follow God's ways. It's not about being smart. It's about following God's ways. Again, it's the ability, it's the lack of ability to take that knowledge and put it into that practical aspect in many ways. Right? The book of Proverbs lists a number of practical aspects and benefits as a result of living in the fear of the Lord. We see that everything from confidence and contentment, cultivating a fear of God can give us confidence, according to Proverbs 14, verses 26, which says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Right? In fact, speaking of children, we're called to bring them up in the fear of the Lord, according to Psalm 34. And so you can see now that, again, the tapestry we're painting of the purpose of Proverbs and the fear of God is starting to grow as we look at more and more passages that refer to this. It gives us confidence, and it allows us to teach and provide refuge for our kids. It also allows for contentment, not just sitting back and enjoying everything that God has done. But most of us struggle to be content with life, so fearing God can actually help us find that satisfaction. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. So even just a little fear of God is better than any treasure and the trouble that will come with it. Fearing God helps us not to be jealous of what others have. And again, this comes to understanding the greatness of God and the graciousness of God. If you want to be more confident, if you want to be more content, then you have to ask yourself, if you're ready to revere God, draw near to him and rejoice. And the primary way to become wise is to live in the light of God, in awe of him. And the pathway to wisdom is to devote ourselves to Scripture, which is where we get pointed over and over and over in the book of Psalms and in the book of Proverbs. When you develop the fear of the Lord, then devoting ourselves to the Word of God is the next step. And the next step is after that is to determine to get wisdom. You know, pursue wisdom at every venue. One does not get wise without working at it. We need to be proactive and not passive and just hope that it comes to us. And so there's a lot of action words that take place. So if we want to take hold of that purpose, and let me finish with this, taking a look at Proverbs chapter 2. There's some action verbs that happen here, which says, how do we pursue wisdom? How do we pursue the purpose of the book of Proverbs? It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, make your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight and raise your voice to understanding, if you seek like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Three times Solomon writes, if you, in order to show that if we want it, we must go this direction. We must be proactive in this. If I read this again and put it into even a bigger context or a more practical context, my son, if you receive my word, so take hold of the word of God and treasure my commandments with you, literally saying to memorize my commandments. Again, memorizing the word of God, making your ear attentive, so paying close attention to those who are wise around you in the wisdom of Scripture. You will then understand it. If you call out for insight, raise your voice to understanding. If you seek it and search for it, you will find it. Proverbs 1 teaches fearing God leads to wisdom. And chapter 2 says the search for wisdom leads to fearing God. It's this beautiful circular motion that's happening. The more we fear, the wiser we become. And the more we search for wisdom, the more we will fear God. And that's the cool thing about chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Proverbs is that cyclical motion that it actually takes us through. It's perpetual. If we are if we're wanting to fear God, then we know that it leads to wisdom. And if we're searching for wisdom, then we're fearing God. The more we fear, the wiser we become. And it's as very much as simple as that. And so I want to leave us there with that today. And I think it's a probably a good place for us to stop. Again, I want to kind of keep this as just a way for you to hopefully turn this on, sit down, listen to it as you eat breakfast, have lunch, or in the afternoon, some way to just dive into God's word and hopefully be some encouragement. I'm looking forward to next week. And I know I always say I'm looking forward to next week, but really what I'm looking forward to is to start to parse a bit of wisdom literature and start to see the key overarching themes that take place in the book of Proverbs and the key themes that take place and what we can start to learn from them. And then we're going to dive into the actual, like some passages and really go at this for a couple weeks. Well, I'm saying a couple weeks, so I think you by now know that a couple weeks probably means a 10-week series, since I've said we're going to do just a couple weeks of each topic we've done so far, and now we're on episode 22. So that being said, I'm going to finish here. I'm just going to pray, and we'll come back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, and we will and we'll talk more about wisdom. So let's pray. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you that we can see what it means to fear you. God, we pray that we'll be people who will fear you, and we know that wisdom will come from that. And we pray that we will be people that search for wisdom, knowing that it leads to fearing you. We pray that we can have that that cycle going on in our lives, just perpetually growing in the fear of who you are and the wisdom that we're gained. We pray that we'll be able to take the knowledge that we have and use it in a way that will become practical, that our knowledge will be turned to wisdom. Our education will be turned to action. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for who you are. And we just pray these things all in your amazing name. Amen. Well, thanks again for joining me. I'm glad that you're able to do this and join me with this. And I'm looking forward to next week. So take care. Have a great week. And I will talk to you next week.